Recording has begun.
Thank you. This is Covenant Condition Restrictions Committee meeting, Monday, February 5th, 2024. It is 5:31 p.m. This meeting is being called to order. Would somebody take a roll call, please?
Absolutely. Chair Dutta.
Present.
Vice Chair Bazin.
Present.
Director Israel.
Here.
Committee Member Candace Hill Calvert.
Here.
Committee Member Eastwood.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it's called. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. We don't have anyone in the audience.
No, that one's for items on the agenda. So.
Okay.
Next item number one.
Next item number one is approval of the conformed agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
Approval of the agenda.
Approval of the agenda.
I so moved.
Sydney moved. Do we have a second?
I second.
Terry seconded.
Favor?
All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
Okay.
Having no opposition, the agenda is approved as conformed. The next item on the agenda is conformed agenda, CCNR meeting January 8, 2024. Do I have a motion to approve the conformed agenda from January 8th?
I'll move to approve the conformed agenda.
And I'll
Thank
second
you.
That motion.
Thank you, Israel. Thank you. Sydney, been moved and seconded. Do we have a motion? Well, we already have a motion. So now, those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Having no objections, no opposition, the conformed agenda is approved from January 8th. Next item, open forum, and we have no one to speak on anything that's not on the agenda. Move on to the next one, monthly staff report. I'll turn it over to Jim.
All right. Monthly staff report, you guys all have the rest of it, which is the spreadsheet on everything here. In regards to that spreadsheet, we have total cases open currently are 48. We have 11 courtesy notices out, 14 initial notices out, 6 final notices out, 5 pre-legal notices out, and I'm going to make a note there that one of those staff inspected today, so one of those drops off is cleared. The pre-legal notices is now 4 that are out. Referred to legal, 0, and outside agencies, 3. Prior month cases cleared was 3. Prior month's new cases was 12. So in the month of January, we had 3 cleared cases, and we picked up 12 new cases. Just for the record, some of those new cases, they reoccur from all the way back in 2019, 2020. And I just reopen them up, and we go on to the next level of status if it's needed. So... any questions on the CCNR cases?
I was wondering on the table you put together, could you add the date to when you start the process on these current enforcement actions?
I can see if we're capable of doing that. I know right now the way the spreadsheet is set up, I do not have that. But if you take a look at them, the dates are in the number. So if you see CCR 22, that was the year of 22. And if it's 106, for example, that's towards the end of the year. So your earlier numbers, like CCR 23-1038, that was our 38th case in 23. but in any quick questions, I can answer that. And like I said, these reoccur. So sometimes they go off, and then they come back on. So on the spreadsheet, for example, on the second page and second line, you have CCR 201053, final notice on Castlebrook. That is a 2020 case that we revived last week because he once again has a trailer out.
So you...
And 53 is like mid-year.
So you don't assign a new case number?
No.
It's just the address is the same case number all the time.
Yeah. And the only way I can reopen them is if they're of the same violation. So even then, I will probably keep the same case number if I had to add something to it. But if, let's say, for example, in this case, it's a trailered item. In this property, it's always a trailered item. But let's say, for example, they have materials out. Now, based on policy, right, I would have to open the case for materials, and they would start a courtesy notice there.
Gotcha.
But if it's the same violation, I do not restart their time.
All right. If it's not a, if it's something easy to do, I'd love to see when the current enforcement action was initiated on this date. And that just gives us perspective of where they're at in the process from a time frame. But again, if that's not available or not, if that's not a simple thing to do, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it.
So, Jim, the dates are kind of like the CCR, then the number. That represents the year?
The CCR, the first number is the year. And then the 10...
Yeah.
Is the order of the cases. So,
you've got like some stuff from 2019.
If it's a low number, that means it was early in the year. If it's a high number, which usually we get into the hundreds by the end of the year, the 100 digits.
So... the question, I guess the part that was a little confusing to me, so you gave the example of somebody, and there was a trailer in the driveway, and it was gone, and then it's back again?
Yeah.
So it would have the original date on it, would it?
Yeah, 2020. This was done in approximately September.
So my problem with that is it doesn't really show that it's come back again. It's repeating itself. Is there some way to...
It was cleared. And then it comes back when the trailer comes back.
I guess in my brain, I'd like both pieces. I'd like to see that connection, that there had been and it was cleared, and now we have a new one, and it's in fact the same property, same issue.
Yeah, and you can even see it right here. Cameron Park North, number one, clause four, closed, then reopened, then closed again, then reopened.
I see. That's how you're doing it. So that's the CCR 221005. Is that the one you're giving us?
The one right below. It was the example.
1053.
Yeah. So you see that CCR 20?
Mm-hmm.
That's 2020. The one above it is 2022.
It still doesn't have the date. I mean, I guess that would be.
Talk to the people that wrote the program, see if they can design something.
It'd be one more piece of information might be helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll have to talk to them because it's not in that. It's only on the case log.
So is it like 1 month apart? Is it 10 months apart? You know, whatever the reoccurring offense might be.
Can you just put it in the box, Jim?
No, I have to go back to Comcate and ask them to break all that out for me separately.
No, what I'm asking is, in the box where you have your description.
Yeah, I'd have to go back to Comcate and have them do that. Because I pull it straight from Comcate. I'll give you an example. I go to reports, here's my CCNR criteria. If I open this up, it'll be in Excel. As of right now, it's trying. We're a little slower here in this back room. But on a case report, I'll give you an example. This is off the hook for me. There we go. Things are a little different when we're back here because we're not on our mainframe. That's the only problem.
One of the reasons why that might be important is that that party comes to this committee and complains, and we say, wait a minute, on these reoccurring dates, XXXX, it would be it was an you had that same issue.
And you guys are welcome in any case to ask to pull one of these out, in which case I go right to the actual case file itself. Okay. So when these are downloaded, none of them have the actual date. This is, because I know how to read it, this gives me the date. But none of these have the actual open and close date, with the exception of my violation notes. So I would have to go through all 400 cases to make sure that those are all updated, or I can call Concate and have them try to figure something out for us. Otherwise, anytime you want to look at a case, I can simply just open up the case. This is our first one in 2024. And then there you do have date open, follow-up date. But it's never going to give me, it's only going to give me the original opening date and the follow-up date. If I close the case and reopen it, it's still going to have that original open date.
And it'll still be the same number, CC number.
It'll still be the same number.
Okay. It's kind of misleading in some ways, because it doesn't show you an ongoing person, a problem.
Okay. So we're up at item B, architectural review projects, period January 2024. We have 20 cases reviewed, 18 projects approved. Two of those, excuse me, again, this is an update. It's not on this agenda because I closed it, finalized it on Thursday after the agenda was built. One of those cases is now being approved, so it's project reviewed 20. Project approved 19. And that was for a duplex that I was waiting for legal to kind of give me some legal background on how those should be approved. When you have a duplex, the rule of thumb is you paint one side, you have to paint the other, you roof one side, you have to roof the other. And the reason why I took that to legal is because, let's say, for example, there's a leak on the roof. Well, El Dorado County is making you get a roof permit even if you have to do a patch now. So I ran it through legal to see how do I handle this. And what I had to do is I had to go to the owner of the other side of the duplex, make sure that they were aware that their neighbor was roofing, and let them know that they're going to have to roof it the exact same color and material. So it was quite a bit of coordinating. When they're supposed to do the coordination themselves, they didn't do it in this case. So we went through and did it for them. A practice that I went ahead and did, so I knew how to treat the other 43 units that are in that neighborhood. They're all duplexes. So I got my education there now and know how to advise applicants when they come out on those.
How much trouble did you get?
Hmm?
How much trouble did you get?
None whatsoever.
Oh.
Their CC&Rs specifically say that they have to notify their neighbor in writing. They didn't do that. And the applicant for the re-roof was an elderly woman, and she also has broken English. She didn't know English very well. So I went ahead and did the footwork for them, and all parties were in agreement. And I made sure that that was all notated in the approval letter and made sure that the owner of the other unit was aware. So the other one that was not approved is actually a project on Spillway. It's a four-unit, two units each building. It's going to be right on Spillway. And because of the floods we had last year, I wanted to meet with the applicant, the developer. We have a fire lane there, an emergency access that goes over to the dam, as well as the spillway. I wanted to make sure that that was going to be detailed on his site plan to keep that open and have it secured, as well as I shared with him all the flood water photos. And for the back of his lot, up against the spillway, recommended that he have some kind of a retaining wall to divert water if it ever spills over the bank.
What was the permit for on his behalf?
Spillway. It's for a four-unit complex, two buildings.
It's building something new?
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking the existing one. Okay. There's an empty lot there on that corner. Okay, very good.
That's going to be, and with multi-unit, setbacks switch over to county. So as opposed to our 15-foot setback or 10-foot setbacks on the side and 15 on the back, it's reduced to 5. And with that being done, reduced to 5, that's why I thought it was felt it was very important for our staff to meet with them, talk to them about the concerns. The applicant was actually very appreciative. They're going to go back to the site plan, fix all that up.
So, Jim, we actually, as a CSD, considered purchasing that parcel. And part of that was, I think it's gated for us to go in there. Is that correct?
No, I think you might be mistaken on the lot.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the, but it was that empty lot right there by the spillway.
Yeah. There is a gate, an emergency access gate, that the fire department has keys to. And that's where we do the access for spectacular and stuff like that.
Are they accessing the road?
They're going to put in a lane for emergency along the creek of the spillway up to their development. And they're going to put in road base, and they're going to put in a second gate over at the road to keep the riprap out.
And that was not a CSD access point?
It is.
It is?
It is. It's our access point as well as emergency and fire.
Okay, that's
just like you would have over on Barron Court on the other side coming in.
From the airport side. Okay, very good.
Yeah. So I made a note there that we had 19 approved. Of those, we had 5 roofs, 3 solars, 1 tree, 2 fences, 1 swimming pool, 2 decks, 1 exterior renovation, 1 siding, 1 patio cover, and 1 window replacement. Projects got a little bit slim throughout the holidays, which is actually pretty common. Not a lot you can do in the winter. But they're starting to pick up again. Any additional questions on ARC?
No, then the next item is pre-legal request, action item. Staff is seeking approval of the following. CCR 23-1076, 3605 Millbrae Road, Cameron Park North, number 2. You want to talk about this, Jim? What is it that you want us to do?
So I don't know if all of you have had an opportunity to go look at these two properties. Property A is 3605 Millbrae. And that case, staff went through all these to verify that they were still valid. And Millbrae, for example, has a boat in the driveway and a trailer on the side yard. They have gone all the way through final notice. And the case is here. And I can bring up the photos right here. We have the boat in the driveway. And right here, we have the trailer on the side.
Jim, are those considered separate, boat and the trailer, or are they one and the same?
They're both the same kind of violation type, improperly stored vehicles, and they're of the same problem.
So you count that as one item, do you?
Yeah, it's one violation.
Okay.
So what we're asking and what I put in the notices is just put up a gate and give yourself the storage. He's got plenty of room to do it. He just needs to put up a gate from right here at the corner of the house to wherever his property line is, and he might even be able to get both the boat and the trailer back in there. Setback-wise from the road, he's got plenty of room to put, measure back, be it 20 feet or 30 feet in this neighborhood. I guarantee you he's got that space. So that's what we're asking for. We have had no response from any of our notices on this resident, but we do know that he's getting the notices. So, staff is requesting for pre-legal to send them a pre-legal notice before we have to get into legal. And usually the pre-legal notices get people to react. So, that's what we're requesting, and also to give you an idea of the case timeline. This case was opened in October of 23, and we are now, it was last inspected today. So we're asking for pre-legal approval on that.
Do we need a motion?
This is an action item, so we would need a motion of pre-legal approval from the committee.
Do we have a motion to approve the pre-legal on 2605 Millbrae Road?
I think it's 36.
Yes.
3605.
No.
Thank you.
I still move.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
All in favor?
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nay.
Okay.
Hearing no objection, the motion passes. You got the pre-approval for 3605 Millbrae Road for pre-legal. Next item is CCR 23-1053, 3589 Castlebrook Road, Cameron Park North, number 1. Vehicle parking and storage. A resident has a large flatbed trailer in frontage road along the Castlebrook Road. Staff have addressed many violations of the boat in driveway, recreational trailer in driveway, jet skis and trailer in driveway. The resident removes the item upon notice, then brings them back out after a short period of storage. The case is often open and closed. This case has been worked since 2020.
Yeah, and I have to apologize. I do notice that on B, CCR, it's actually CCR 20. And you
can CCR see 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
So CCR 2153. This case was opened back in 12/4/2020. It actually started up earlier. It's when we started recording this one on Comcape. This gentleman plays the game. And it is, he gets a notice, he puts it all away. A couple months later, come back out. Anywhere from 4 to 8 months later, stuff will come back out. I do know that maybe he feels that he has a little carte blanche, but I also know that he's playing the game because before I had this job, I met the gentleman and he talked about the game that he plays with the CCNR department, get the violation put away. So we are, it's always for trailers, and I'll give you an example of the photos here.
Does Sheriff's Office or CHP have any jurisdiction over that?
No, they do, but they won't. I'll just put it blunt. They don't. And they will literally tell you, and they'll tell the person here, all you have to do is move it 3 inches and we're good. We do not have jurisdiction over the roads. We only have jurisdiction over what's on the roads if it's in the CCNRs. So in this case, right now he's got the flatbed trailer out. In a timeline, he has had boats and wave runners and all kinds of stuff, and he has got a massive storage all the way up from this frontage all the way up to Cameron Park Drive. He can fit all of these. He just chooses not to. So this one, it's gotten to a point where it's like we just need to start applying the pressure and educate the gentleman that this just cannot continue. So, and then again, reoccurring. So I'll close the case and then I'll reopen it. Close the case for when it's cleared, and I'll reopen it. And that's what I was pointing out to you on that example, where in the log it will show when it was closed, when it was reopened, and this is all of the follow-ups. So, case change to final notice, close all violations. You can see where it's just closed, open, closed.
Quite
open,
a history.
Closed, open.
Yeah.
So he plays the game. Quote-unquote. Do we have any real recourse, or is it just we have to play the game along with him, go through this dance, he clears it all out, you sign him off, and then he can go back to parking his stuff?
Yeah, because I got to go through the policy of send him notice, let him know right. Where he's at. Yeah.
Can we bypass and, you know, preliminary initial notices and just go straight to pre-legal?
Well, he's
because he's a repeat offender?
We never really... We never restart these. So like I was saying, in 2020, he got his courtesy notice.
Right.
And then it closed.
Right.
Then I reopened it in 2021 and sent him the next notice.
Uh-huh.
And then he cleared it and we closed it. Then he brought it out again and I went to final notice. So I don't restart the case law.
So you go straight to final.
I go to the next level.
So the next one will be a pre-legal again.
And that's what I'm asking him for.
Okay. Makes sense.
No, but then when he does it again, right?
Then it goes to legal. Okay. That's when we get the lawyer in.
Yeah.
And then if nothing happens then it's an abate or quit. So there's two legal notices, which I haven't got to the abate or quit yet. Fortunately, between pre-legal and legal, I get a lot more response.
Well, So, do we have a motion to approve the pre-legal on CCR 20-1053-3589 Castlebrook Road?
I'll move to approve the pre-legal authorization for 3895 Castlebrook Road.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The motion passes unanimously. Your pre-legal is approved for CCR 20-1053-3589 Castlebrook Road.
Thank you very much.
Next is staff updates.
Okay. I'm bringing A back to you just to kind of give you a heads up of what's going on. The reason why I'm bringing this back and the heads up's going on of what's going on is because CCR 23-1014, 2885 Holly Hills Lane, a fence was put up at this property across the frontage that doesn't even, it doesn't follow our fence guidelines, and it does not follow even El Dorado County Code. However, El Dorado County Code is a little bit different than what our CC&R requirements are and our fence guidelines. So on this property, we started going out there for complaints of trailers. The guy owns a paving and grading company, so he's got experience doing driveways and retaining walls and paving and stuff like that. And I think with that experience, he went ahead and did that work. So the trailers have been cleared, and he's good on that. And we put up this retaining wall, and then a 6-foot tall fence on top of that. What happens is his neighbor over here, and I apologize, I don't have a picture of that, but the neighbor's driveway coming out, can't see around this fence. He's got to stick his nose out into the street to see if he's clear to make a turn. That's the main reason why you will see in Cameron Park, once they get to their setback line, the fence lines drop on the sides. So you'll see a 6-foot fence. And as soon as you pass that setback of 20 or 30 feet, you'll see those fences drop down to approximately 40 inches. This did not happen here. We have already sent him pre-legal. You guys have approved pre-legal. The reason why I'm bringing this back is because the fence guidelines for Cameron Park are relatively new. And I want to make sure that I have a good solid case here before I take it to legal. So, well, I've already taken it to legal, but I have not released her to do a legal notice. I want to make sure that she knows, our counsel knows, her policy and her offense guidelines, which she helped us with. This case fits that scenario. I don't want to get into something where we end up in a battle and then lose. So she's reviewing that. She did try to reach me today, and we just played phone tag. The resident also called in today because they said they just got their pre-legal notice, which was sent a month ago. Pre-legal was sent out to them on 1-4. So, and they have admitted to me that they're very slow at getting there. Just running a business and going through all the mail. So both the husband and the wife called us today. We'll respond back once I have had a chance to talk to legal. But I wanted to keep you apprised of that because this case is going to kind of set a precedence when it comes to fences. Anyways.
Is it the setback okay on it?
No.
No? And then the height with the, is how much total?
So in this case scenario, and let me bring up another photo.
So it's wrong in both ways, probably.
It's in this case scenario. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. Their setback, and I did wheel it off, goes almost up to their house. They've got a 30-foot setback, which puts it. I met with the property owner on this property, talked to him about the concerns. He said, "I'll take care of it." 6 months later, I don't even have an ARC application. So, I talked to him about putting up a fence over here and having that side yard enclosed. Again, the issue is we have kids. We don't want them running that street.
Don't they have a backyard?
No.
It's a corner lot?
No.
They do not have a backyard.
Is it a corner lot?
Yes, it is. It's a corner of Cambridge and Holly Hills.
So where's this retaining wall fence? Can you
cut? It's on Holly Hills.
It's the side.
So just visually, where would it be?
So they, the and this picture, it's not built yet?
Or
no, it's
this picture, it wasn't built yet.
Okay,
that's
right. They even put in a shed pad. This pad right here he put in was for a shed in the front. And I said, I said, don't buy that shed. So he hasn't bought the shed. He stopped there. But if I go, I can give you a really good example on Google Images. Property right here. He's got beautiful storage over here for all of his equipment and trailers. And I can give you an example of his frontage, which is this house right here. And you can see in this picture, he's even started putting up, the retaining wall is done.
Well, there it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is the neighbor that I'm, you know, that's being blocked. The neighbor has his 40-inch fence as what's required. But then he put this retaining wall in. Don't have big, a huge problem with that because this is the watershed drain for the whole neighborhood. And then he put the fence on top of this. So it's like I told him, work with me. I'll consider this your finished grade of your lot. And I'll let you put a 40-inch closed construction fence on top of this.
And that's 40-inch total.
40-inch total for your frontage fences, closed construction, 40 inches. For open construction, 42 inches. Okay? And he said he would do an application to get this done right and fix it. It just hasn't come in yet.
How high is the retaining wall?
This retain, it varies. So on this side, it's about 2.5 to 3 feet, and down over here on this end, it's about 1.5 feet.
Okay.
Those kind of, you know, when it comes to county, a lot of times county isn't going to look at something under 4 feet, engineering-wise. If I were to call county and ask for some help on this, this is one of my problems, and I've run into this before, county walks up and county's viewpoint is, let's just make it go away, take out every other plank. Well, that doesn't work. That doesn't even fit El Dorado County code, but that's their way of solving the problem. And we got into a big old spat on another one that we had removed on Toronto. Because they, again, either way, they still haven't come through ARC. So they don't have the education. But this case is going to, this case is in our legal hands right now because, it, like I said, this is going to set precedents on how we act in future cases.
And so what's the total height with the retaining wall?
With retaining wall, it's probably going to vary 40. Right now, existing, it's well over 7 feet. On this end, it's on this end.
Okay.
It's if I were to measure from this side, it's over 8 feet tall. If I measure from finished grade on his lot, it's 6 feet.
So, are those concrete mix blocks filled with concrete or with dirt? Just for curiosity.
That's solid concrete block.
Well, he put a lot of money into that.
Yes, he did. And I'm not asking him to remove the concrete.
Yeah, just the lower the fencing. Just lower the fencing. That,
yeah.
That doesn't seem that big of a deal.
This is his only yard. And you can see his backyard is from the back of the house.
Oh.
It's only about 5 feet deep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Don't know how. Because per the zoning and everything,
it
shouldn't have been built that far back up against the property line.
Yeah,
that's
odd.
That's the history of some of these lots in Cameron Park.
Yeah.
And that's why this office was made.
Right.
Because they weren't, county wasn't looking at CC&Rs, they're going by county code, which is 5 foot and 20 feet. 20 feet from the front, 5 feet all around. So, we're just trying to make sure this is done right.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I feel like even with a 40-inch fence, his kids are still going to be safe. That's the update on this case. I can update you after I've spoken with legal and we've gotten a good direction to proceed, and I've responded back to the applicants or the property owner.
Couldn't they do like a wrought iron fence that's open and not that tall?
That's, you know, our fence guidelines spell that out. Yeah. And we are requesting, you know, stuff like wrought iron or non-flammable material, because the new Cal Fire or the new fire code is saying you can't have wood fences that connect up to your home. So that means man gates and larger gates. We're going to the age of non-flammable material for your fences and gates. When the fire department talked to me about this, after we published the fence guidelines and after it got approved as policy, they came in and said, well, we need to have non-flammable gates. And my response was, then you're going to enforce it. So what they're doing right now is it's only going to be done on new home construction and possible changeover of real estate if it's a bad scenario. That's the way they explained it to me.
Okay.
So our fence guidelines do have examples of non-flammable material for these kind of scenarios.
But you don't require that.
We're not, but I did make sure to put a red line in there that says if you're connecting any wood gates to your home, please seek counsel from the fire department.
You're like passing the buck there, yeah.
It's their laws.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah, right.
It is in our fence guidelines.
Okay.
To talk to the fire department.
Talk to your insurance company.
Right.
Yeah.
That's bad.
All right.
Okay, so that's that.
That's that, the neighborhood campaign.
And then the neighborhood campaign, we just had a lot of complaints on Archwood Road. Keep in mind, if you're going down Cambridge, Archwood Road, and I think I might have wrote, Archwood Road East is an HOA, Archwood Road West is part of our CC&R, so I got to edit that and say West. But we just had a lot of complaints of materials and trash cans. So just to give you all a good little update on trash cans, El Dorado Disposal is supposed to help educate our communities on putting away your trash cans. And it's like I spoke with the general manager. I don't know every single neighborhood schedule. My neighborhood has three different schedule dates of pickup. That's one of the issues. So it makes it hard to enforce. The other issue is, how do we know that they're not working on their yard, doing landscape cleanup or something like that? So when I get complaints for trash cans, it's really one of those items that's very difficult to enforce. So what we did is we did take a drive down the Archwood, and we saw a majority of the homes do have cans that are stored in front of the garage. They're not screened well. So we did a neighborhood campaign, probably somewhere around 30 homes. And just asked everybody to keep working on their materials out front and be kind and talk them away. We also discussed this in staff today, where I think the next newsletter, did you guys see the last newsletter response from our CC&R department? And from what I hear, it had a very good response from the community, because I thank the community for those people that are working with us and have helped us clean up Cameron Park. In the last 3 years, we feel Cameron Park has cleaned up quite a bit. And I wanted to thank those people and encourage them to continue working with us, continuing to clean up neighborhoods. So it seemed to, on Nextdoor, it seemed to have a very, very positive effect as opposed to a negative effect. So I think in our next newsletter, we talked about asking residents to help out their neighbors. And if their cans are out and they're out on a trip where they were working away from home, or it's an elderly person, as opposed to walking your dog and then coming home and sending us a violation complaint, why not see if you can help them? This isn't going out of your way. That, to me, is community. So we're gonna put that message out in the next newsletter. That's it for our updates.
Okay. Items for future CC&R committee agendas.
I think one of them, you guys had a note, look into the reports and see if there's a way for me to add dates. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk to our our tech that handles ComKate is actually Kate Lulahan, if any of you guys remember that name.
Yeah.
She was my predecessor.
Yeah.
She's the one that set up all these programs. Mm-hmm. So I will contact her and say, hey, is there a way that I can put in my criteria report the open date? There is no closure dates until it's closed. And when I close a case, it drops off. But it stays in the background. I have to reopen it. It just doesn't come in the report. But we'll see what we can do about adding that on. So
okay.
I'll make a note right here. Dates for the CCNR report.
Okay.
I'd also request that maybe one of the items we can cover in a future meeting is just what you have been talking about here in the last few minutes, which is outreach. Mm-hmm. And what approaches we think are working best, which ones maybe we can try to get the word out there.
We're on every social media platform. The one that went on all social media platforms, and it went out to the subscribers as well. So I think that's why we heard a lot of people make comment on Nextdoor. A lot of people are
good. Ultimately, I think the goal would be to have a outreach plan for CCNRs, basically.
I'll throw that on the general manager's plate because
and again, a lot of it you're already doing, right?
Yeah.
But to formalize it so there's a better understanding, a common understanding of how we're reaching out.
You might be looking at a motto too. Take pride or keep our community clean or something like that.
Yeah, and I use that model.
What did you use?
What is your motto? Keep Cameron Park special.
Yeah, I say that's great.
So, and I even say it in closing on a lot of these. Thank you very much, Cameron Park, you stay special.
Yeah.
The neighborhood campaigns are also a part of those outreach.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just think there'd be some value to writing it down. Saying this is, the outreach approach that we're using. And neighborhood campaigns are one of them. The website's another, right? Social media is another. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a complex document.
No, and so far, every one of those you named, we're using.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll see next Jim on TikTok.
Look at that, same color.
Oh my God,
same. That's my piano. Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right. Items to take to the board of directors. Anything to...
That's for the committee. We did not, and it's also agenda driven. So let's say, for example, we get past legal, I update you, and it's something that I have to go to the board of directors if we're going to take it to arbitration or courts.
Okay.
And thank you for that education when we met. I'm trying to remember the differences between mitigation, arbitration. So,
do you want to bring the Silver Springs progress report to the board at the February meeting?
No, I think at this point it's very, very early in the development of the next phase of Silver Springs. It's at this point it's only really hit our plate to look at the proposed map. It's when we get into the CCNRs. What Alan's bringing up here is we had a meeting with county today. Silver Springs is getting ready for its next couple phases. They're closing out the first phase, in which case our staff wrote the CCNRs for that one. And the only item that came up in the county meeting was CCNRs. So I addressed that and said, yeah, we do need another document. I don't have a problem with it being duplicated from the first phase, since we put a lot of work into that, and the makeup of the community is very much the same. But it is specific to just that phase, where it's lots 1 through 50. And they're now doing another phase, which is going to be, from my count, over 200 homes. And that will go all the way up to Bass Lake Road. So when we get to that point, I'll work with the developer to make sure that they have their CCNRs in order and make sure that it's recorded to reflect those new phases. More to come.
Okay, so nothing to take back to the board of directors.
None at this point.
Okay. Matters to and from committee members and staff. Anything to discuss?
This is where I like to see if you guys have any absences coming up or anything like that. You do?
I do next month.
Next month. So our next meeting will be, if it's not a holiday, our next meeting would be March 4th. You're looking at being out March 4th?
Yes.
Okay. TE is out March 4th. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything
else? Anybody
else
have any absences coming?
For me.
And I think we covered a couple of those other things through conversation, like dates and outreach. Like I said, things slow down a little bit in the winter. They are starting to pick back up. People are starting to walk their animals a little more, so a lot of the complaints come from our dog walkers and stuff like that. We do have a couple neighborhoods that we're in more than others. Eastwood Park, we're not in that often. But Cameron Park number 6 or 7, we're in constantly. So we're still working on violations up through Knollwood, Kimberly. Is it Knollwood, Kimberly, and Oakwood. Those areas up in there, they've still got to be educated on trailered items and materials and stuff like that. So that's part of that. That was part of one of our original neighborhood campaigns. Now we're going through and doing the violations.
Okay, well, looks like that brings us to the end of the agenda items. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Move.
Second.
Second move. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. They were charging you extra for that?
Yeah, I don't think it's worth for this committee, but yes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you want to hear it unofficially.
So, yeah.
Is it appropriate to CCNR?
Probably. Well, let's stop that.
Yeah, we're adjourned.
But it's interesting.